you been to school all this time?
Yes.
I tried to call you an hour ago. Is everything all right? Grant, talk to me.
I don't know where to start.
What's going on?
I was trying to lock up for Steve. And I overheard Dan meeting with some fathers. They didn't know I was there. Brooke, they're pushing him to get rid of me. Neil Prater, Alvin Purvis, Luke Ray. They said I wasn't capable of winning. Call me dead weight.
They can't make Dan fire you. You still got support. You just go get JT and Brady and see him tomorrow.
Brady was there. They've just lost confidence in me. You know, I was so sure I could turn this program around. And I've just sunk it lower. Brooke, I've tried so hard. Why can't I win?
You can win. Stop beating yourself up, Grant.
Brooke, I can't provide you a decent home. I can't provide you a decent car. I'm a failing coach with a losing record. And I can't give you the children you want.
What?
It's me. Like everything else is me. We can't have our own children because of me. What's God doing? I mean, why is this so hard?
It's okay, Grant.
How many of us have been there? Maybe not with this particular issue. I've been there. Where you ask the question, what is God doing? You might even ask the question, God, do you even care? I've asked that question. You know, those moments in your life when what you thought was your calling on your life, what you understood your work to be, what you understood that you were supposed to be doing with your life, whether it's in your job or at home, and you come to the realization that it ain't happening. That's a tough crossroads to be in, isn't it? Well, when we were thinking through this sermon series, we wanted to have a sermon that touched the lives of those couples who have no children. Those who have children that are grown and gone. Those who are single, grandparents, as well as the church community. These folks can have a very strong positive influence on our kids. Amen. Well, when I researched the topic, I had a harder time than ever finding information around these things, which is both good. It means that we're on the cutting edge of things as far as topics. But it also means as a church, we have a long way to go as far as supporting these people, right? It reminded me of whenever I was doing researching a retreat, a men's retreat, where they asked me to talk about men's ministries in the church. And I searched literally for weeks trying to find information on men's ministries. And, I finally found a little section under the African American section in a Christian bookstore. No wonder the church as a whole is losing its men. Well, that's another sermon, though. I did find a few common threads in the information that I found, including our Bible, and I tried to put it together this morning. And let's start by rereading our scripture for today. Now, see if you can find something common in this scripture. And I'll try to be obvious. You know, I'm not good at being obvious. All who believe were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need, day by day, as they spent much time, where? In the temple, they broke bread at home. You know, that assumes the together. So they broke bread in each other's homes together and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. So I kind of gave it away, but like I said, I have a hard time of being obvious. But what is the common theme in that scripture? One of them? Yeah. Believed and were together, spent much time together. And this is very... Whoops, wrong button. The people in our scripture did things together. You might say they lived life together. And that is the first and maybe most important point I have for you today. And the first blank in your insert there. If you want to help a child or youth, you've got to be willing to spend time with them.